Welcome to the Your Health University podcast. My name is Jamie Preston. Today we're continuing our conversation about something brand new at Your Health, and that is pediatric care. In part one, we talked about how Your Health is expanding to care for their youngest patients and how that idea was born out of real need. Parents trying to balance work, family, and stress and sick days. If you're a parent, you understand this fully. Today in part two, we're going deeper. We'll talk about what it's like to be both a nurse and a parent and why that can make caring for your youngest kids and your children more complicated. And we'll hear from Dr. Jay Ruffin about flu, RSV, and COVID vaccines, plus practical advice for parents navigating respiratory season. Because guess what? It's here. It's 45 degrees outside right now. It's real, it's relatable, and it's exactly the kind of conversation that reminds us of why Your Health is so much more than just a primary care provider. It's a community that walks with you and your family through every season of life. So let's jump in. Here we go. People like MJ are nurses, but sometimes, MJ, speak to this. Sometimes nurses, they kind of have that suck it up attitude, you know, because they, you know, talk about that, being a nurse and, you know, with your kids and, you know, it's not that you're not compassionate. Obviously you're very compassionate, but talk about that kind of thing.
We do. And I think everyone has a different experience, but oh my gosh, it is so hard. Yeah. because there is, I appreciate, I'm a parent first in that moment. And so it's very difficult to manage your own feelings, right? But as a clinician, sometimes we do push the line a little bit and we do think about, okay, gosh, I don't want to be another person that is sort of clogging up the emergency room or mm-hmm. taking up a visit for a pediatrician. And so you start to wonder if you should toe the line a little bit, which is another thing I like about this opportunity to have telehealth. Because now you don't feel like you need to toe the line.
Right.
You have somebody sort of intimate with your family that you can pick up the phone and call and say, hey, I need an appointment with you. I'm feeling a little insecure right now. My nursing hat says, I think it's okay. But my mom hat really needs validation because this is scary to me. This is my baby. And most of us, let's be honest, you know, there are so many areas of nursing, not a lot of people do enter pediatrics, right? And mm-hmm. so also not a space where most of us are very confident. And so you just really want to make the right call. My nurse hat says my kid's okay. Mm-hmm. My mom hat says I never want to wait too long. Another reason I'm very grateful for this opportunity is sometimes we lose clinical judgment. You know, I hear Dr. Ruffin speaking and I almost forget these nights I spent in the bathroom baby wearing my daughter, with the shower turned up mm-hmm. or, you know, I even have, you know, a critical care background and I'll never forget the night my neighbor ran over because his son was having a febrile seizure when mm-hmm. they're children and that's not your wheelhouse. It really is scary. The point I'm just trying to make is it's very difficult to manage your own emotions. And so I'm grateful for the opportunity to have much expedited expert advice so that you don't have to make the clinical call. You can be the parent in that moment.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah, that's great. Now, I just got a text. I think it was yesterday from my local CVS saying, hey, we got vaccines. Come get your vaccine. Come get your flu vaccine, all that stuff. Now with kids, you know, and I have no clue because I'm not a parent. I have no clue with this, what this is like. Dr. Ruffin, could you explain kind of the current flu, COVID, RSV vaccine options for infants and children and, you know, all of the above there, you know, in the pediatric world? Can you kind of give us an overview of that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I think, unfortunately, we're in a world right now where there is a lot of vaccine hesitancy, and it can be really hard for parents. They get information from so many different outlets. Sure. There's so many different places you can go to find information, and it can be hard to know, you know, who to trust and who's giving you the right information. So I'll say as a physician who has spent a lot of time in training, learning about kids, and now also as a mom, any advice that I would give to somebody is something that I would do for my own child. So mm-hmm. I hope that provides at least a little bit of comfort. I'll say looking at COVID, flu, and RSV vaccines, if we want to prioritize them, I think that the vaccine I would be the least concerned about getting right now would be the COVID vaccine. And that's not to say that I'm not recommending it. I think that if you are able to get it for your child, I would recommend it. It's going to decrease severity and duration of symptoms if they get COVID. But just to be honest, you know, we fortunately are not seeing nearly as dangerous strains of COVID now as we did mm-hmm. initially during the pandemic. And it's really not making kids super sick the way that we saw it doing before. So, you know, if you know that it's going to be a battle to get your kid to get shots and you're trying to prioritize, I would say that's the one probably that would be at the bottom of my list. If you're like, okay, well, maybe I can get them to do the flu, but I don't know if they'll agree to also get the COVID shot.
Right.
I definitely recommend the flu vaccine. I think people forget that the flu can actually be very dangerous. We typically see, we see multiple, unfortunately, pediatric deaths in our state every year from the flu. And I think that a lot of people don't realize that, but the flu does unfortunately kill children every year in this state. There's a lot of misinformation around the flu vaccine. You know, there's the thought that you can get the flu from the flu vaccine, and that's just simply not true. You know, unfortunately, sometimes you get the flu shot and a few days later you get the flu, but I can assure you it had nothing to do with the shot. The shot itself is an inactive virus, so it's actually impossible for the flu shot to give you the flu because the virus is not even active. Now, that shot is approved for children 6 months old and above. So any child that is 6 months or older can get the flu shot. Mm-hmm. There is a second option for the flu, which is called flu mist, and that is a nasal spray. Now that is actually a live vaccine. So technically you could get some mild flu symptoms after getting that mist. So that is true. Because it is a live vaccine, it is not recommended for children who have any kind of any children who are immunocompromised. And it's also not recommended for children who have asthma. And you can only get that if your child is 2 years old or older. So that's the caveat for the flu mist. So highly recommend that. I will say, like, I have not really started seeing a whole lot of flu yet. Some of my colleagues said that they have had a few cases here and there. But that means that now is the ideal time to get it because we're not really seeing it yet. So it takes your body a couple weeks to really respond and start giving you good protection. So now is the perfect time to go and get your flu shot. My biggest recommendation to parents, especially of infants, is going to be to get the RSV vaccine.
Sure.
And I will shout from the rooftops, this vaccine has just been an absolute game changer in pediatrics. We saw a 98% reduction in hospitalization rates of infants with RSV last Wow. year after the introduction of this vaccine. So it is absolutely incredible. I gave it to my daughter and I unfortunately brought RSV home to her when I went back to work at 3 months postpartum and she kicked its butt. I mean, that girl, she didn't miss a beat, never had a fever, had a little cough for about a day or two. And that was it. And I was terrified because she was born a little bit early. She was itty bitty. And I fully attribute that to her having gotten the RSV vaccine. So I think the big thing to know about that is that if you have a baby who is entering their first respiratory season, who is 8 months old or younger, then they will qualify for the vaccine. The caveat to that is that if you received the RSV vaccine when you were pregnant, then your baby will not qualify because they will have already gotten those antibodies from you.
Right.
So that's important to know. And then there are some children who will qualify who are older than 8 months old if they have a history of extreme prematurity or they're immunocompromised. There's a couple of different medical conditions that would qualify a slightly older child for the vaccine. The other thing I'll say about it, it's called Beyfortus, is that it is not the kind of vaccine that you think about when you think about the other shots that your kid gets. It actually is a pre-made antibody. So most vaccines, they're giving you an inactivated strain of a virus so that your body will mount a response to it and you will make antibodies against it. The RSV shot is actually already formed antibodies. So there really have not been any side effects with this shot. There have been a few case reports of like a mild rash, but that's about it. So It definitely cannot give your child RSV. It should not give them a low-grade fever like you can see after some vaccines. It really is a very, very low-risk vaccine that has just incredible benefits.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's some great, great advice. Now, MJ, as a nurse, you know, and a parent, and you both, obviously you can both speak to this, but what do you suggest for yourselves? You know, your kids are bringing home stuff. They go to daycare, they go to school, they come home, they're bringing stuff. You know, do you recommend getting yourselves vaccinated and getting the flu shot, getting those things?
Yes, absolutely. I am a believer in being vaccinated, not just as a parent, but as a clinician. We are frequently exposed. And while we are speaking about a pediatric patient population, or we're speaking about our children and what we could bring home to our children, I do want to tie in that, you know, our geriatric population is pretty vulnerable as well. Mm-hmm. And so we also don't want to carry from our kids or from our homes, you know, to our patients, because there's a trust there too. So I want to make sure that, you know, both are very noteworthy and that we should follow, you know, current guidelines for vaccination.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's great. So let's close with this here. MJ, let's first, I want to give Dr. Ruffin the last word here to speak to other parents. But there's two things. MJ, I want you to speak to, you know, how can employees right now get involved in this? How can they make this happen? What do they need to do to be able to take advantage of this and to be able to help them, help their kids, you know? And then we're going to go to Dr. Ruffin at the end. I want her to give the final word to parents and, you know, what to do in this final season and kind of give her that final word there. So MJ, speak to how do parents get involved in this?
Absolutely. We'll put more information in the newsletter as well, but the pediatric department will fall under the wellness department umbrella. Right now, there will be a concierge fee of $20 per month that is for employees that are not on our insurance, as well as others in the community that may want to participate. That $20 fee will be fully funded by the LTC management company for all covered employees and dependents. One thing I want to make note about is that we will somewhat case manage the pediatric patients as well. And what I mean by that is they will have some touch points in appointments with their assigned providers. And part of that is just to make sure that the information that we have within the chart is accurate and up to date. One of the things I really want to stress is accurate weights for your children, especially younger children, since so many medications are weight-based. Mm-hmm. So if you go to your pediatrician's office, write that weight down, you know, put it on, I have a little magnet on my refrigerator that has my pediatrician's phone number on it. And I usually stick the paper that I leave after their well visit. I stick it right under that magnet just in case if somebody's babysitting and they need information, it's all right there on the fridge. But that's what I would drive home. So stay tuned for more information. Expect that you will have a relationship with your health provider. And I encourage you to know your child's weight.
Yeah, that's great advice. So good. MJ, thanks for all you're doing with this. Dr. Ruffin, give parents the final word. What do they need to finally be aware of? And what would your final word be today?
Yeah, I think the big thing is, you know, don't be afraid to reach out if you have any concerns about your child. You know them best. I tell parents that all the time in the emergency department. Like, yes, we have medical training and knowledge and expertise, but I'm getting a snapshot of your kid. You are with them all the time and you know them best. So trust your instinct. If you think something is off or something is wrong, don't hesitate to reach out. We want to be very available to you, even if it's just to give some advice or you just want to run something by us. That's what we're going to be here for. You know, it's always rough this time of year, but, you know, trust your gut, trust your instinct, and don't underestimate the power of supportive care, you know, fluids, humidifiers, suctioning their noses out, getting them to blow all that mucus out, and just letting them rest and loving on them and helping them feel better. The kids are resilient. Kids get better almost all the time. And so take comfort in that. Do everything you can to set them up for success by getting them their vaccines, doing good hand hygiene, keeping them home if they're unwell. But, you know, they are going to get sick. That's what they do. And that's what we're here for and here to support you through.
That's awesome. Guys, thanks for working this program, making this available. Big thanks to Scott Middleton and the leadership at Your Health for providing something like this. I don't know of a lot of companies that do this and make this available for employees. And it just makes life a lot easier. It's already tough enough to be a parent. And this just makes it all the much easier and to provide them with the support and help and structure they need. So guys, thanks for being on the podcast today. We're going to have you back to talk more about this as we go along in this new year and it's coming up soon. And thanks for being on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having us.
What an incredible conversation to close out this two-part series on Your Health Pediatrics. If you haven't listened to part one, go back and listen to that episode and get caught up. Today we heard what it really means to be both a clinician and a parent. That tension between our professional instincts and your heart as a mom or dad. MJ reminded us that even nurses need reassurance, and that's exactly what this new program provides. A chance to be a parent in the moment while still having expert support is just a call away. You don't have to do it alone. And from Dr. Ruffin, we learned how powerful knowledge and preparation can be, from flu and RSV and vaccines to simple home remedies. She reminded us that supportive care, trust, and intuition go a long way because parents truly know their children best. What Your Health is doing is more than just launching a new service. It's building a bridge between care and comfort. It's creating peace of mind for parents, protection for kids, and even safer connections for the seniors and patients that Your Health serves every single day. To every parent listening, you don't have to do this alone. Whether it's a fever at midnight or a question about vaccines, Your Health Pediatrics is here to walk beside you, helping your family stay healthy, hopeful, and home. A heartfelt thanks to Mary Jane Britt and Dr. Ruffin and our leadership team, especially Scott Middleton, for bringing this vision to life. Thanks for listening. We appreciate you. Go have a great week. We'll see you next week.